Good morning, everyone. So here we are at the start of our second full day together. So I thought I would recap a little on some of what we've been offering and suggesting and encouraging so far on this retreat. And that we have been encouraging a lot of friendly attitudinal quality to being here. And real encouragement to let our practice, let our, what's brought us here, if we can, come from kindness towards ourselves. Maybe towards ourselves and our location or our wider lives, that it's in service of something nourishing. And that kindly attitude, if we can connect with it or encourage it at least, even if it's not obviously around, can really help the kind of way we kind of glide into a retreat. This kind of arriving is such a process, and it's likely to still be happening, actually, in many of us. It's not a one-off, now we're arrived moment often. So it can really support that arriving process and introduce some flexibility, some ease, and hopefully what we're encouraging is an attitude of self-care. So only you know how you are and your particular conditions, and how to take our suggestions in a way that will be helpful for you. Yeah. And then another aspect we've been introducing and talking a little bit about, particularly on the first night, was around intention. What brings you here? What is keeping you here? What is fueling the heart's desire to do this practice? And kindness befriending is part of that. And there may be other things as well which are important to you. Maybe that the refuges that we tuned into on the first night might be supporting you and giving you a sense of intentionality embodied by our candles here. And thank you to those who are taking care of the candles at the end of sits and beginning of sits with blowing them out and lighting them again. It's really appreciated. And bit of a sense of this retreat is sort of being it's co-created. We're holding it together. And there's the intention of the intentionality of what we are intending to do, you could say, in every practice. Practicing meditation is a cultivation. We're growing something. And what do we want to grow? This beautiful Pali word, bhavana, which means cultivating, growing, creating. And the intentions we bring to that determine to quite a large extent, what we do grow. And you will have noticed that the mind has a life of its own, as in fact as our body and heart as well. And that we can't force something to grow, like you can't force a plant to speed up or to be something other than it is. And we can't force our minds, or we can try. It might not be very pleasant and might not be very long lasting to force the mind in a particular direction or to stop thinking. So part of the intentionality is, how do we create the conditions to allow the mind to settle and to create enough space to grow the qualities we want to grow? So intentionality can be seen as an invitation. I like to see it that way, an invitation for something. We're inclining in a certain direction. We're aiming to help create something. But there's the element of discovering. It's like, well, life then meets us in a certain way. And then there's a conversation between us and what is coming to meet us when we orientate in that direction. So an example is this real encouragement to orientate towards kindness. So we might have that intention, but actually what meets us is a lot of irritation. So it's like, oh, okay, I'd really like to invite more kindness in my life, but actually I'm not really that at all. I'm feeling really annoyed. Okay, well, what would be a kindly way of meeting this experience, this annoyance? This is just an example. So I can't force myself to feel a certain way. This annoyance that I'm feeling about something. Okay, well, can I respect this and allow this to a degree? And then just feel like, what's helpful response here? So that would be that kind of conversation we might have with ourselves and our experience through our days here. So in every sit, every walking practice, we are suggesting having a clear intention to bring and focus our attention in a certain direction. So this is the direction, the pointing of where would we like our mind and heart and body, our system. And we might think of attention more in the mind, but in a way it's actually, we could see of it as our whole self, our whole body, heart, mind, system. Where would we like it to focus, to direct its energy? And, you know, I think Jon Kabat-Zinn says, we're either practicing mindlessness or mindfulness. We're always practicing something. So if we go around in our thought circles over certain topics, we're kind of reinforcing that way of thinking, which may or may not be helpful. But meditation practice is encouraging us to become more consciously aware of that and make a choice, like learning our true power to actually have some influence over where our mind is, even if it's just for a split second. And because our thoughts are so malleable by external conditions, by worries, by stress, we are suggesting coming to the body as a really helpful place to place attention. Not that there's something wrong with our thoughts and our minds, but that the body is often a more resourcing, nourishing place to bring attention, which is less likely to get knocked off course by a reaction into an automatic pattern. As I say that, I'm aware that the body is not always a comfortable place to be aware of or to bring our attention. You know, sometimes, in the case of illness or pain or other things that get stored in the body, sometimes the body doesn't feel the safest place to place attention. And if that is the case for you at times during this retreat, or a lot of the time even, really, you know, coming back to the kindness and the wisdom side, might be helpful to check out, there are places in my body that don't feel helpful to come to, or safe or pleasant enough as a resource. Is there anywhere else in my bodily experience that that I don't particularly notice normally, but might be a potential resource. So that could be the contact with the ground, the sensation of feet, and that sense of touch with the carpet, warmth or fuzziness that you might feel there. Or when you're walking, that much stronger contact with the ground. Another place some people find really helpful, and I do at times, is my hands. Any sense of this is a neutral or a helpful place to become aware of my body that isn't lost in thoughts, with the tingling or warmth or soft touch that my hands offer me. And another place that, if the body is not a comfortable place, is opening more to the space around the body and sounds coming and going. But aware of myself in that location. So it's not that I'm cutting off awareness of my physical self, but it's a much more spacious, wider awareness that has a lot more allowing and breadth to it, and takes in the world around more. That could be with the eyes as well as with sounds. And there are other options that you may well be discovering. So I wanted to name that because we are speaking a lot about body and breath. And if at times that doesn't feel right for you, there are these other options, and maybe even more options that you yourself are discovering that are helpful. So really encouraging you to follow your own wisdom there. So we have on this retreat so far been suggesting lightly some anchors, some focuses for our attention, which have been the ground, connecting with the ground and allowing the ground to hold us, and the body in a more general way, the sense of having a body, being here, sitting, moving. And within that bodily experience, the sensations of breath. So I'd like to say a little more today about how we might relate to the anchor or the anchors that we're working with in our practice. So in the tradition, I find it really helpful two terms that have these Pali names from the old language of the time of the writings of the suttas. You don't need to remember these, but I just say them for those that already know them, or as a useful kind of label that you don't have to remember. So this is vitakka and vichara. So vitakka is the movement of attention that's directed in a certain place. And within my understanding of vitakka is our will. So we make a decision about where we want to place our attention. And if you like, this is an agreement that we make with ourselves at the start of a practice session. So, where would I like to grow my awareness of presence? Is it in my body as a whole, for example? Is it in the sensations of breath within the body? Or it may be another focus, you know, that I've mentioned, or your own practice that you're going with. So that's sort of being clear about what's the agreement I'm making with myself of how I'd like to practice in this session. And then, of course, as we all know, we start, we sit, and then the mind does something else. So completely normal. This is part of the practice. This is practice. So when we notice our mind has gone into an automatic pattern of some kind, we notice that. And then we've got somewhere to come back to, that agreement that we made with ourselves at the beginning, to the body as a whole, or the breath, or whatever the anchor is, the focus for that practice. So that's the vitakka. It's like, I've made an agreement with myself so that when my mind goes off, I remember, or I'm more likely to remember, what my intention was at the beginning of the practice, and I'm going to come back. Of course, how we notice and how we come back is really important, and that's where those attitudinal factors come in. You know, how we relate to ourselves when we notice our mind has wandered, and the way in which we invite ourselves lovingly back to our anchor. You might think of it like, you know, by using this metaphor, growing a plant. You know, when we notice, you know, the plant has got a little dry, you know, that we want to, we give it some water, you know, to give it some good nourishment. So this idea of, I want to deepen my, allow my, the roots of my attention and my calm, my peacefulness to deepen. And to do that, I'm going to gently come back and deepen those roots of being able to come back. So the other word I mentioned, vichara, is like the other side of the pair. So the vitakka and vichara work really well together. So vichara is the more, as I understand it, the more receptive side of practice. I mentioned a little while ago how we can have an intention and then life meets us, and it isn't always what we expect. So the vichara is our sensitivity to be able to receive and be aware of what's happening, and to evaluate it to some degree. So if I had my intention of my focus for the practice to be my whole body awareness sitting here, a more general awareness of my whole body, I can feel the floor, my breath within the body, okay, and my mind's gone off to thinking about something to do with home, conversation I had with someone, and just realised I've done that. Okay, yeah, I understand why I would be thinking about that, but actually I'd really like to use this opportunity to deepen my awareness of the present moment, so I'm going to come back to the body as a whole. Oh yes, here I am again. So the vichara would be, how is it now, in this moment, here in this body, what's happening? Oh, yes, I've noticed I've sort of slumped a little, and when I notice that, I just naturally unfold. That's nicer. I can feel the ground. Oh yes, a bit of tension in my belly. I'm just releasing that automatically as I notice it a little, and oh, that connects me with my breath. And as I'm sort of opening to the body as a whole, there's this sort of sense of a bit of energy and a bit of tiredness and a bit of comfort and quite a few things going on actually in my whole body. And then, you know, then the vitakka comes back in. I'm like, well, within the mix of all of this, what shall I pay attention to? What shall I particularly notice? Because there's quite a lot I could go to right now. And okay, maybe I'm going to focus a little more on my breath. And what would be a really lovely breath to take right now? So the vichara asks the question, and then the vitakka is like, okay, taking a breath, and it's like this now. So I don't, if you see that they sort of work a bit together, and practice can be like a conversation with yourself or with your experience from moment to moment, and can be really alive and really, what should I say, not pre-planned. You know, it has an unfolding that we're an active participant with. Very creative process. So this is where, for me, practice can really become interesting and alive. And however we practice, I think it's not easy for the mind to come back if it's not particularly pleasant to come back to something, or there's not much interest there, or it's, you know, one style of practice, which I did try and practice for a while, was just come back. And it was a bit like a school teacher, you know, with a stick, come back. I didn't last very long, but the first time I tried it, it was maybe like 10 minutes. I got a headache, you know. So it's really helpful to think about what invites and encourages the mind to come back, what makes practice interesting and hopefully enjoyable. And one of those things, which is this vichara quality, is curiosity. So when we come back to our anchor, whatever anchor we're using, like seeing if we can ask with a beginner's mind, how is it now? What's here? Because it will be a little bit different from the last time we came back, because life tends to change, as we may be noticing. It's like, well, how is it now? What's happening in my system? And if there's something difficult happening, it might help to curiously ask, well, how is this showing up for me in my body? Like, where's the tightness? Where are the different sensations that are telling me I'm feeling this particular way? So with tiredness, it's not much curiosity or interest, it's just tired, I just want to rest. But I do want to cultivate presence, sort of speaking through my own process here. So the curiosity could be, well, okay, I'm tired. How do I know I'm tired? What's telling me I'm tired in my body right now? Okay, so this blob of tiredness now starts to become a bit of tension around my eyes. And as I sort of become more aware of that, I start to realise, there's other sensations happening here too. And it's actually not that unpleasant, really. Is it changing? And then, maybe then coming back to my anchor again, once I've woken up a little bit and sort of become more aware of what's here. So we've got the attitudes with which we practice that help us with our intentions. And then that helps us direct our attention. Where do we place our mind at any time? And once we have placed our mind or our attention in a certain direction, what's happening? What's here? So I'd like to say one more piece around suggested practice today, and that is when you come back and you're investigating what's here, our suggestion for today is to particularly notice what feels good in the mix of what's here. So at any one time, it's likely there's going to be a mixture of experience happening, and it may be the case that if there's any unpleasantness around, that tends to be more obvious, and the mind and heart often will gravitate in that direction more easily. And that as human beings, we tend to have a negativity bias, that just the difficult aspects of our experience are often what's at the forefront. And I don't want to suggest that's a wrong thing or that it's a problem, because that's just the way we are. And definitely serves a function, because it helps us pay attention when we need to act in danger or, you know, take care of something. But the cost of that is that we can miss out on being so aware of what's lovely and nourishing in our experience. And the Buddha said that a very important, essential factor for the path is enjoyment. It's really hard to practice meditation if there's no enjoyment at any time. And again, it's kind of what gives us the juice and what gives us the desire to keep going. So today, the suggestion is when you're coming back and you're noticing what's here, sitting or walking, and there might be some unpleasant challenges here in the mix, and let's recognise those with kindness. They're here too, and what do I need? That's all really, really helpful. And can we also widen our perception a little bit to say, what else is here? And particularly, is there anything in my experience that feels good right now? Or if not good, anything that's less unpleasant or a bit neutral or a little bit okay? So we might have a spectrum here between this is a little bit okay to this is absolutely fantastic, you know. Maybe there are things, you know, somewhere on this spectrum that we might notice. So right now, sitting here, just taking a breath feels good. That's lovely. And actually, I've got a little bit of neutral but pleasant sensation in my toes right now, so I'm noticing that. And there's, you know, I could go on. We could, if we're working with the breath, ask the body a really lovely question, which is, how would you like to breathe, my dear, right now? What would be the most pleasant, nourishing breath you would enjoy? We're asking our body this. And then maybe there'll be an answer, or we could experiment, like, try taking a slightly bigger breath and notice how that feels. Does that feel nice, pleasant in some way? Or maybe actually really subtle breath might be nice. So again, weaving into our conversation with ourselves, with our practice, this orientation towards what feels good and what's enjoyable, while also knowing that it's not always going to be enjoyable. You know, life has its ups and downs, but particularly trying to take in more of what's good as we go through our day. So I'm realising I've talked quite a lot, and I would like to offer a short practice. It'll be a short one. You might have been sort of practicing a little bit with me as I was talking, but let's have a little practice now exploring this way of practicing together. So just a 10 to 15 minute practice. So finding your seat or your posture, if not a sitting posture, that's comfortable. Letting your body rest into the support of the ground, the earth beneath us. Letting go what we can of any extra holding we have in ourselves. And within the intention to rest and let ourselves be held, the intention of allowing a friendly recognition of what's here in our system right now. It might be being held by the earth beneath. Be helpful at the start of a practice to notice any places of tightness, or tension or holding, other specific areas of holding in the body, like the shoulders, or the back, or other parts of the body, and just give a moment of kindly attention to these places and see what they need. Perhaps inviting them to soften and open a little. And then inviting to our minds an intention for this short practice. Being clear on where is the anchor, where would I like my attention to come back to and to grow and deepen. So one suggestion is to let the attention come back to the whole body with a little awareness of the whole body resting and in contact with the ground and the background. And the whole body as it breathes. You may have another anchor agreement you'd like to make with yourself, so feeling free to do that. As you're making the agreement, you might notice the mind is already there, becoming aware of that part of the body, your experience. We could then ask the question, how is it now? What's happening here? Noticing, receiving sensation, encouraging curiosity to notice what's here. Noticing where the mind tends to be drawn. Noticing if it is drawn more to sensations that are a little more difficult or unpleasant, which would be very normal and natural if that is happening. And not judging that, but just noticing that just very natural tendency of mind if it's happening for you. So acknowledging that if it's happening, and then curiously asking what else is here in my experience. So that might be widening again to the whole body, particularly noticing if there are any areas of the body that feel more okay. Maybe checking out the belly, if there's any sense of okayness here. Maybe in other parts of the body, quite subtle sensations that might seem quite neutral or quiet, but also maybe a little bit pleasant. The breath, then maybe noticing if there's any aspect of the body breathing that feels neutral or pleasant. The freshness of an in-breath, for example. Maybe a little bit of release with the out-breath. notice that the mind, if it's still in the body and breath, it might start to drift back to areas that feel unpleasant. And then just making a decision of, well, would it be helpful to stay here and take care and notice this less pleasant area? Or is it, would it be okay to just widen my awareness again, to just checking out again what's more pleasant in my experience right now? In the anchor that I'm exploring and using, what's it like to reconnect with the okayness or pleasantness, if that's what I'm doing? What does that feel like? Times you might like to drop in a little question. How is it now? Listening and receiving our experience. If your anchor is the breath, maybe trying out the question, dear body, how would you like to breathe right now? Sometimes in practice, the questions or the effort can start to feel a little tight. And it might be helpful to just relax into the listening mode. Allowing, receiving experience. Taking the foot off the gas pedal. At other times we feel like there's not enough energy in the system, and we're drifting a lot, then maybe coming back to the vitaka, remembering our intention, coming back to the anchor and really leaning into curiosity. What's here now in this moment? please feel free to have a stretch. That you get a sense that you have the freedom to choose a nourishing anchor to come back to, and that when we come back, there are ways of meeting that experience and investigating it to deepen the anchor and the nourishment that it can give us and the steadiness. And that the suggestion for today is to particularly orientate around what feels good in experience and to gravitate more in that direction. At the end of that guided practice, I just mentioned a little bit about effort, that sometimes we're trying quite hard in our practice, a bit like the foot's on the accelerator. And when it gets a bit out of balance, then we start to notice there can be a bit of tightness starting to build up, or a bit of, I need to do this right, sort of language, or however that shows up for you, that kind of over-striving, you could say. And even quite subtly, I noticed in that practice for myself, I was starting to go in that direction and then coming back. So when we notice that happening, that can be really helpful to, rather than sort of drive ourselves harder, to really come back to the more easeful, open, hands-off kind of way of practicing, just allowing and just let life unfold and meet you in a more receptive, in a way, going a bit more to the more passive stance. But then when that goes too far in that direction, we can end up just drifting off to sleep or into daydreams, and we lose our cultivation. So that's when we notice that happening, then we can just kind of lightly, oh, let's just come back a bit and maybe bring a little bit more energy and a little bit more choice, active choice, back into the practice. And then it's a real kind of art, you know, how we navigate that for ourselves and experiment with it. So there's no, you know, perfect point of getting it right. It's more that we have different tools so that when we notice we're getting a bit stuck, we can change tack a little bit and rebalance. We're going to go into a walking period. So it looks like it's not raining, which I'm very happy about. So the walking period can be a really lovely way to carry this practice of tuning to what feels good, and that what feels good in the body as you're walking, maybe the sensations of the feet touching the ground, giving yourself back to the earth, perhaps, if you're doing that lovely practice. Or what feels good in the whole body, and it might be that it feels helpful to widen your awareness a little bit more to the whole body now, and notice how the whole body feels walking, with movements in the arms, the way your back feels, your chest feels, the body as a whole. And opening to the space around us, and when we're outside, perhaps particularly drinking in what is enjoyable about that experience, whether it's the colours, the smells, the breeze on the skin. If it is raining, if there's any aspect of that that's pleasant, I found it quite pleasant because I've been quite tired. I've really quite enjoyed little time in the rain when it's not been too heavy, to just feel that aliveness of the weather. And the invitation is, because often, you know, the settling and arriving does take time, to still choose a walking path, to to go on. But at times during the day, it might be also pleasant to go on a slightly more extended walk around the gardens, or when you're going for a walk at lunch out into the fields. And particularly, again, encouraging us to enjoy that and notice what feels good about that and go in that direction to really nourish our souls, nourish our hearts, and help us in the it's like giving nice fertilizer to the plant of our growth, like to help us feel more settled here and happy here, and encourage a sense of juiciness into our practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.